Welcome to Obesity, a Disease, the official Obesity Medicine Association podcast exploring the many facets of the disease of obesity. In this episode, we'll be hearing from Dr. Suzanne Kuda, President and Medical Director for Alamo City Healthy Kids and Families. Joining her is Dr. Sarah Karju. Dr. Karju is an obesity medicine specialist with Pediatric Gastroenterology, Hepatology, and Nutrition of Florida. Today's topic is vitamin D deficiency in children and adolescents with obesity. Obesity, a Disease podcast is brought to you by the Obesity Medicine Association, a clinical leader in obesity medicine.
Hi, I'm Suzanne Kuda, and I'm pleased to be talking with Dr. Sarah Karju about a topic she suggested, vitamin D in children and adolescents with obesity. I'm really interested in this topic because it is such a common clinical problem. Sarah, can you please introduce yourself?
Absolutely. Well, first, let me give you a little background about myself. My name is Dr. Sarah Karju, and I'm a board-certified pediatric gastroenterologist and obesity medicine specialist with Pediatric Gastroenterology, Hepatology, and Nutrition of Florida. I'm an assistant professor of pediatrics at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, as well as the Florida State University School of Medicine, and an associate professor at the University of South Florida Marsani College of Medicine. My clinical focus is on pediatric obesity, nutrition, pediatric and adult NAFLD that is secondary to obesity.
So it sounds like there's really important things to talk about with vitamin D other than the traditional bone health aspects of vitamin D. We're going to base our discussion today on some interesting articles that are going to be listed at the end of the podcast, and we're also going to use the guidelines from the Endocrine Society and the Institute of Medicine. So, Sarah, we know there are other metabolic effects of vitamin D. Can you talk about those?
Yes. So, one of the things I want you to understand is that active vitamin D not only has effects on bone, but in 32 cell lines in our body, including adipose tissue. And so vitamin D has been found to affect the expression of insulin receptors in peripheral cells and may have a role in improving insulin resistance. Meta-analyses have shown that vitamin D supplementation can also help with glucose tolerance in another population, which is type 1 diabetics. So this is really important. So low vitamin D can really worsen insulin resistance. And a possible mechanism is that when you have low vitamin D, there isn't adequate suppression of PTH. And we know that PTH goes up in vitamin D deficiency. And then so high PTH has downstream metabolic effects that affect insulin and may result in insulin resistance. And so this is new things that are being found in articles and studies and can really affect our patient population of children with obesity.
So important. And I know that our children are also, in a sense, always in an inflammatory state. So let's talk a little bit about the immune effects of vitamin D.
Yes. So vitamin D also has immune modulating effects. So as a pediatric gastroenterologist, one of the things that I talk to my patients about with autoimmune diseases, and especially things like Crohn's disease, is good vitamin D supplementation or sun exposure. We know that it does affect the adaptive and the innate immune system. So T cell, B cells, and with the innate immune system, macrophages, monocytes, and dendritic cells. There is also some data showing that maybe allergic disease, asthma, atopic dermatitis can have less exacerbations with better vitamin D. And so besides affecting these cell lines, vitamin D modulates the activity of cytokines. What I want everyone to realize is when a person has excess adipocytes, so fat cells, or hypertrophic adipocytes, big, big fat cells, there are increased amount of adipokines, so think of these as inflammatory cytokines, that are being secreted. And so these adipokines can really cause increased inflammatory state in patients with obesity. So there is a role then for vitamin D. So vitamin D can come in, help with chronic inflammation, has effects in visceral adipose tissue, which we know is a problem with metabolic derangements and metabolic syndrome. And what's interesting is the active form of vitamin D, the 125-OH vitamin D, regulates these adipokines. So in essence, if you have an imbalance, if you have too much adipokines and an inflammatory state, it also affects insulin and may lead to insulin resistance. Vitamin D can also help reduce the effects on pancreatic beta cells and reduce apoptosis in children with type 2 diabetes. And in several studies, it has shown that vitamin D, low vitamin D, is associated with twofold increased risk of diabetes, a twofold increased risk of metabolic syndrome, and a 1.5-fold increase in hypertension and hypertriglyceridemia. So vitamin D is important in metabolism. It's important in the inflammatory state. It is important, I think, in children with obesity.
And such a common problem. So what do you think the relationship is between overweight or obesity and vitamin D levels?
Well, in the literature and in some of the studies that we reviewed, they have shown that elevated body mass index, so BMI, is associated with low vitamin D 25-OH levels. That's the level that we typically as clinicians get in serum laboratories. And we think that the reason why this exists is the following. So one, adipose tissue or fat tissue may be absorbing or trapping the vitamin D. Another explanation is that maybe individuals with obesity have a more sedentary lifestyle and have less sun exposure. And a third is that a combination of hepatic steatosis, perhaps high leptin levels, high inflammatory markers like IL-6 impair the vitamin D synthesis and affect the vitamin D receptors downstream. So there might be multiple mechanisms affecting children with elevated BMI and vitamin D levels.
Fascinating. The majority of the children and adolescents with obesity that we see have low vitamin D levels. So what's the best way to increase the levels in these kids?
So as you know, vitamin D can be increased through both diet and sun exposure. And I know we spend a lot of energy looking at dietary sources of vitamin D, which are just as good. But I want to just remind everybody that we can make good levels of vitamin D through synthesis through the sun and through our skin. So for example, if you go out in the sun for 10 to 15 minutes during the summer, you can generate 10,000 to 20,000 international units of vitamin D3. Of course, if you're a light pigmented individual, or if you have a darker skin, you might need 5 to 10 times more exposure to get a similar amount of vitamin D. So, you know, with, you know, small and frequent sun exposures, you can produce good vitamin D levels. But if that doesn't work, there's also oral versions of vitamin D3 that patients can take.
Okay, yeah, we're going to talk about that, I think, a little bit later. And before we get to that, maybe we should spend some time talking about the definition of vitamin D deficiency.
Exactly. So when we are referring to vitamin D levels, I'm referring to vitamin D 25-OH, which is what we typically measure in serum levels, although we can also measure the active form of vitamin D in blood work. The definition we're going to use today is the one by the Institute of Medicine and the Endocrine Society as being less than 20 nanograms per ml or less than 30 nanomoles per liter to less than 50 nanomoles per liter.
Okay, well, at least we're agreed on how we're defining it. So let's discuss the current recommendation for dosing in children with obesity.
Well, there's actually no specific recommended dosing for vitamin D treatment in children with obesity. But we can look at the AAP guidelines. For a child who has insufficiency or deficiency, the current recommendation is vitamin D3, 2,000 to 5,000 international units per day. Now, if adherence is an issue, they recommend 50,000 international units per week, and typically the course is 3 to 6 months. Or you can do a one-time dose of vitamin D3, 200,000 to 400,000 international units, just as a one-time dose. The other recommendation is for prevention. So if a child is not deficient, we recommend 400 to 600 international units per day as a daily dose.
I think those are really important numbers to keep in mind and things we have to sort of rely on every day in terms of taking care of our patients. I think it's interesting that in Europe, they'll commonly use these kind of mega doses, 200,000 to 400,000 at one shot. And I've rarely seen that done in the United States. It is an interesting approach instead of expecting to your patients to take medication weekly or daily. So how about the target levels? Where are we trying to, what levels are we trying to reach for these kids?
Absolutely. So in 2011, the Endocrine Society recommended a target vitamin D25OH level greater than 30 nanograms per ml or 75 nanomoles per liter. That is our general target.
Okay. My own experience is that I have to continue to treat with supplemental vitamin D in children with obesity for a very long time, usually more than 3 months. Caveat to this is those kids whose weight status falls into a lower range relatively quickly. Those kids often, I see the vitamin D levels go up fast and normalize. And so that makes a whole lot of sense. Sarah, thank you for your input today. This is a topic we're going to have to revisit down the road as more studies become available.
I agree. And I really hope that by listening to this podcast, we now know the value of vitamin D in children with obesity and individuals who have elevated BMI. And perhaps, again, there could be a benefit metabolically for them and their insulin resistance. And, you know, just encourage those kids, get them out in the sun so that they can get good vitamin D levels. Thank you again for letting me come in today and talk to you about vitamin D in children with obesity.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Obesity, a Disease. For more information about obesity medicine podcasts and other valuable resources from the clinical leaders in obesity medicine, please visit www.obesitymedicine.org/podcasts. If you enjoyed this episode and want to listen regularly, head over to iTunes where you can subscribe, rate, and leave us a much appreciated review. The views expressed in this episode are those of the host and guest and do not necessarily represent the opinions, beliefs, or policies of the Obesity Medicine Association or its members. Please join us again for our next episode of Obesity, a Disease.